I am Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. Can't get crazier than that, you'd think. I prefer being called Six-Pack Sally, swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. And over the course of 9 years, after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, they asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, the hoodoo investment advisor, Don J. Bennett, was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. I figured out the way forward after untold dollars and people time spent over the decades. It took me one article to write a solution to Congress's problem, that felon thing that has now risen to the level of political capital, rebranded as criminal justice reform. Congressman Maxine Waters announced hearings for the month of February. Her new committee, the Financial Services Committee, House side. There is a similar committee, Senate side, for the senators. You know, as we move forward, I'm going to share you bits and pieces I've learned over my time around Congress, and part of that time has been spent covering news. Initially, that was up until 2009. One never really does leave covering Congress, do we? We become pundits of sorts. But I want you to understand more than what you get in news bites that you watch on TV or on podcasts or in tweets and other little bits and pieces that float out that are used to drive opinion. So there is a Financial Services Committee on the House side. There is a similar Financial Services Committee on the Senate side. And each committee has a majority and a minority. And as the elections shift, who is in charge? You may find the conservatives in the majority, and they would be chairing the House committee, in this case, Financial Services. Or you may, depending on the elections as they just shifted, find the Democrats in charge, and they would have a Democratic person nominated to chair the committee. And the committee then itself is split into the majority, which is of the chairperson's party, and the minority, which is of the other team, in this case, the Republicans. It's simple to assume everybody understands this. Well, it's not. It's theater. And when you are there often enough, long enough, and for hearings that run hours, one sees a different perspective. I want you to get educated more to what I have seen first person covering news for almost a decade. If I was to break it down into a comparative, a sports comparative, I would call this tug of war. Truly, each side is looking to see who can pull the other side over the middle separating line. So as the new committee chairperson, Maxine Waters, comes in and she sets an agenda. What I have here to share with you, I do hope you brought your cup of tea to the table too. The agenda that has been set by Congresswoman Maxine Waters starts Tuesday, February 12th, 10 a.m. The full committee will convene a hearing entitled The Use of Sanctions and Economic Statecraft in Addressing U.S. National Security and Foreign Policy Challenges. On the 13th, there was going to be planned a 10 a.m. hearing for the full committee entitled Homeless in America, Examining the Crisis and Solutions to End Homelessness. On the 13th at 2 o'clock, the Consumer Protection and Financial Institutions Subcommittee will convene a hearing titled Challenges and Solutions, Access to Banking Services for Cannabis-Related Businesses. Valentine's Day, February 14th, 10 a.m. No love note to investors still yet. The Housing, Community Development, and Insurance Subcommittee will convene a hearing entitled The Affordable Housing Crisis in Rural America, Assessing the Federal Response. The 26th of February, 10 a.m., the full committee hearing, Who's Keeping Score? Holding Credit Bureaus Accountable and Repairing a Broken System. 27th of February, 10 a.m., the full committee, semi-annual Humphrey Hawkins hearing entitled Monetary Policy and the State of the Economy with the Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. On the 27th at 2 o'clock, there is a Diversity and Inclusion Subcommittee hearing. What you're not hearing is what interests you and me, the investment client community, the investment advisor community. There's no hearing challenging the Securities and Exchange Commission frauds with the ALJ courts that impacts investment advisors who are being called to the table, called to a court that the Supreme Court has ruled unconstitutional. There's nothing on the Securities and Exchange Commission dragging witnesses. We see on TV the high-profile witnesses, the celebrity athletes that draw cameras to the SEC. Otherwise, nobody really goes there. I mean, let's be real. What's more newsworthy to stations and media drowning in a world of analytics, algorithms, and Amazon? Martha Stewart was one such name that the SEC used as a draw. We have talked about how the former Securities and Exchange Commission Commissioner Michael Pawauer told me, bald-faced told me, nose to nose, that the SEC commissioners get together and vote on what cases to bring to trial that will bring attention to the commission. They look for celebrity. DJ Khaled was another one of the celebrities. The list goes on and on. So we're not hearing anything immediately on the forefront of the Financial Service Committee's current chairperson, Maxine Waters. Now, Maxine Waters is not new to this rodeo. Maxine Waters has been in Congress a very long time and on the Financial Services Committee a very long time. What we're hearing, well, what we should be hearing is concern over some newest members voted into Congress, floating ideas that will dominate most likely Financial Service Committees. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her focus on Roosevelt years, the New Deal. We are going to talk about the New Deal. I have a perspective that will blow your socks off. Keep in mind as we meet and greet and talk and tea together, hopefully with sugar cookies on your plate too, but as we meet and talk, we're going to always revisit history. It's not just his story, as people say, or her story. It's our story, and we need to go back and look at details that are not necessarily the forefront of conversations that the investment community, the investment victim community, are hearing changes being brought about. A bit more understanding of Washington, D.C., the Financial Services Committee. And this is like a model you can look at the workings of other committees and use this as your prism. Let's start again with the committee. You have a committee, and the committee itself is broken down into parties, the majority and the minority, and those committees and the parties are then populating subcommittees also. So there's the giant umbrella of the Financial Services Committee, and then you have the Democrats on one side and the Republicans on the other side. We are talking, focusing on the House Financial Services Committee. The FSC, Financial Services Committee, hearings are held in Rayburn Building. Let's step back one giant step. The United States Capitol Building, best envisioned, is like a spoke in the middle of a wheel. One half of that wheel is Senate side, and that is closer to Union Station. The other half of the wheel is House side, and that's closer to the Capitol Hill Club. Capitol Hill Club is right next to, adjacent, the Library of Congress Madison Building. There are three House buildings. There is Cannon Building, which is closest to the Metro. There is Longworth Building, which is in the middle of the three House buildings. And then there is Rayburn Building. Rayburn Building is the seniority building. When you are a newbie to Congress, like AOC, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, you would be in the Cannon Building. And usually, the newer one is to Congress, the higher they up are in the building, and the rooms on the higher floors are not as glamorous and plush and large as the rooms in the Rayburn Building. You cover news, you cover a lot of offices and a lot of speeches, so one gets to see things the average listener doesn't get to see. I thought it would be fun just to give you a visual so you can understand Maxine Waters, for example. Her office is in Rayburn Building, the same building where the House Financial Services Committee is seated. The majority office, in this case the Democrats' office, is like two doors down to the committee hearing room, and the minority office is down a level. It's not on the same floor as the Financial Services Committee hearing room. If you're walking to Rayburn coming from the Metro, you could walk inside Cannon down to the basement and take the basement across underground. If you're walking on the outside, you can just walk down the sidewalk. If you're coming from the Metro, make a left and walk down to the street separating Longworth and Rayburn. You make a right at the street in the middle, hang a left at the U-shaped driveway in front of Rayburn, and you walk up. And there you get to see cars waiting with drivers in them for members to come out from the building, post their hearings, and be taken wherever. This is not an area for your car or my car. The streets here are secure. These are only for legislators and staff, not for you or me. You're more apt to bump into legislators if you're walking in the three buildings underground rather than walking above ground. And there are people that do that stake out the halls trying to catch a legislator to get a few seconds of nose-to-nose with them. For all the opportunity and effort made to have a meeting with them in their office, reality is, unless you catch a legislator in the hallways, in the subway, meaning the underground, you're more likely going to be stuck speaking to a legislative staffer. I'm old school. We understand how broken telephone works. I tell you one thing, and you repeat it, not exactly the way that I told it. Lack of understanding, lack of time, lack of notes, lack of interest. So positioning yourself outside of a hearing committee room is a great way to get a few seconds, learn to walk fast, a few seconds of nose-to-nose time to communicate your issue, your relevancy. Now, the most up-to-date schedules of committee hearing rooms can be read online. Few do read it online, that is. Few know where to look or how to navigate committee websites. Sometimes you have to wonder if new legislators ever visited a committee website or walked the halls before campaigning to be in Congress, but let's be honest, few care. Life is busy, and life is confusing enough without the average father or mother worrying whether the legislator is doing the job they were elected to do or not. Let's be honest. Others think, rightly so, it's not as if doing something will make a difference. For all of the brouhaha we hear about voting, the numbers of voters have dropped so low that areas, as the District of Columbia has been bandying about in their council meetings, areas are looking at giving 16-year-olds the right to vote. Can you imagine? One day a 16-year-old will be the mayor of the most important city in the world, District of Columbia, or at least in D.C.'s mind, but it is the home to Congress. Imagine. Congress is a creature. Congress is a behemoth that works, most accurately described as something that has changed little since the day it was created. This is not a new idea, not a new notion. It's actually something a marketing executive explained to me years back when I was designing, explaining to me that buyers tend to buy what the buyer before them bought to not rock the boat. The buyer from Sears called it job security. Does that give us a clue into Jerry Nadler, Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, Chuck Grassley? Does it? Now you have an understanding why there are longtime politicians revisiting, regurgitating themes over and over again. Congress is little different than being a buyer at Sears. Legislators are good at appeasing. Now that the new Congress just sat, their agendas? Listen up. H.R. 624, the Promoting Transparent Standards for Corporate Insiders Act, introduced by Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, and by Congressman Patrick McHenry, Democrat of North Carolina. H.R. 502, the Fine Trafficking Act, introduced by Congressman Juan Vargas, Democrat, California, co-sponsored with Congresswoman Ann Wagner, Republican, Missouri, the Show Me State. H.R. 56, the Financial Technology Protection Act, introduced by Congressman Ted Budd, Republican, North Carolina, co-sponsored with Congressman Stephen Lynch, Democrat, Massachusetts. I know what you heard. What did you not hear? You heard nothing about investor protection of investment client victims. You heard nothing about investor protection of investment advisors. You hear nothing of either being protected from FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, frauds, the frauds they perpetrate in arbitrations and ALJ courts. You heard nothing about this theme. I've spoken to Maxine Waters nose to nose since 2012, nose to nose in the crypt of the U.S. Capitol. You heard nothing about Wall Street criminals and crimes covered up, nor do you hear anything about the crime cover-up impacting felons, the exact conversation I brought to former Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. After all of Terry's decades of wanting to restore voting dignity to Virginia felons who served their time. One article I showed idiot proof in his face, in everyone's face. I made it public, but showed in that piece that Madoff's crimes were known 50 plus years ago. Boom! Terry had the key he needed to open the door to restore overnight voting dignity to Virginia felons who served their time. I put criminals, I put felons on the same plate and served it up. Didn't get a thank you. I will continue to say that over and over again. I do tell Terry every time I see him. As to what we do not hear still, you heard nothing in those acts that have been laid out, and read nothing if you go back historically into Financial Service Committee acts. You hear nothing about the Fifth Amendment. We hear about the First Amendment. We hear about the Second Amendment. What about the Fifth? It was the Fifth Amendment that was core to my bill, former Congressman Keith Ellison, Democrat of Minnesota, brought public in 2013. It is the Fifth Amendment that drives me, as I told Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, Democrat of the District of Columbia. In 2013, I told her, what moves me forward, what keeps me pushing, I told Eleanor in 2013, the Fifth Amendment promise of due process. The Fifth Amendment says to the federal government that no one shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Due process. Due process for investment clients that FINRA takes away from the courts. It says it on FINRA's website. Investment clients go to courts. Due process for investment advisors that FINRA takes away from JAMS or AAA. This is what drives me. Daily, this is what propels me forward to make sure this is seen correctly. Not through the prism that FINRA has been pushing people to see through. Theirs is a total mind psychedelic kaleidoscope of sorts, where they tell you that FINRA's security broker dealer's firm only forum is where investment clients and investment advisors come in if they volunteer. No, we don't volunteer. A lawyer we trust who promotes themselves as being an expert in securities law says, come, follow me. This is where you go. No. I have pointed you towards FINRA's website before. The guidance is there. It says investment clients go to court. Investment advisors go to JAMS or AAA. We want due process. Keith Ellison's bill tried to make this happen. Who do you think was on Keith's committee as a minority person at that time? Maxine Waters. You know, just for the fun of it, I am going to locate the bill and I am going to see who the co-signers were on the Democrats' side that didn't jump on board giving due process to investment clients and investment advisors. You can be sure I'm going to get back to you on that. Now, so lying to investment client victims to get the investment client victim away from courts into FINRA is lying to an investment client to get away from the courts, away from judges, away from due process. So how is this? How is it these two words are not something the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, the FSC, Financial Services Committee, and the D.C., District of Columbia Council? How is it that they do not see, have not seen, have not argued that due process is core, ground zero to these conversations? A popular phrase these days I hear is streamlining, streaming. How is it justice is not being streamed in compliance with law rather than in lockstep with the criminal's agenda? First-hand experience, let me share with you how I spoke to someone on the House side from the OGR committees and the FSC committees, OGR, Office of Government Reform, FSC, Financial Services Committee, and asked repeatedly both sides of the Capitol, Senate and House, asking for a witness panel of FINRA and SEC whistleblowers, and was told, no, we just had a panel. I said, you did? You had a panel of Securities and Exchange witnesses, FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority witnesses, but no independent whistleblowers who have forced change, people that are not employed by the Securities and Exchange Commission, people that are not active with FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, or any of their friends, and I'm doing that with air scare quotes, NASAA, SIPC, FDIC, CFPB, alphabet soup. Alphabet soup, anagrams, letters that when you shift them around, they spell the same thing, con job on investment clients and investment advisors. They talk, PIABA talk, for the securities broker dealer firms, not for Main Street. I told Maxine Waters herself, nose to nose in the crypt, the Capitol floor, middle of the Senate and House sides, transversing from north to south or south to north, I met Maxine in the middle. It wasn't our first time meeting, but this time, this evening, as kitschy as we met in the middle sounds, her thin COS, chief of staff, was with her, and we chatted. And we chatted following up to 2013, when Maxine told me to meet with her staff. Yes, I caught her outside the hearing room. You stand up, you exit when you see the member exit their member councilperson seat, and you exit the main doors, wait in the hallway to the right if you're waiting for the minority person to exit, to the left if you're waiting for the majority person to exit, and you catch them in lockstep, as I described earlier, and pitch them in seconds what it is you want them to hear. I told Maxine then about FINRA's crimes on investment advisors, on FINRA's crimes on investment clients. I told her about the SEC crimes on investment clients and investment advisors. And the word crime is the word that fits, because when you know of someone breaking a law and you don't tell people, law enforcement people, about the law being broken and by whom, you are an accessory to the crime before, during, or after. Maxine's staff have been on my email updates since 2013, updated on what I continue to accomplish, making change in Wall Street bad behavior, making difference. While Congress is one place to go to stay updated on investment client and investment advisor issues, another site in the District of Columbia is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, adjacent to Union Station, On February 7th, planned holding a closed-door Sunshine Act meeting at the commission headquarters in Northeast D.C. This February 7th meeting was closed to the public. This February 7th meeting was open for commissioners, counsel to the commissioners, secretary to the commission, and recording secretaries, all who were to attend the closed meeting. Certain staff members who had an interest in the matters were also invited to be present. You weren't invited. I wasn't invited. The subject of this closed meeting, then, was not being broadcast, not being streamed, not being transparent, and the subject matters were to be institution and settlement of injunctive actions, institution and settlement of administrative proceedings, resolution of litigation claims, and other matters relating to enforcement proceedings. The official word is the general counsel of the commission, or his designee, had certified, in the counsel's opinion, and listed exemptions that were set forth, and exemptions that, time permitted, might be discussed or considered at the end of the meeting. Sounds formal, doesn't it? Sounds appropriate, doesn't it? I am being sarcastic. You do know. But don't lose sight of the fact the Securities and Exchange Commission only has sight of securities broker dealer firms. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, does not have oversight of investment clients nor investment advisors. Maybe it's my age and eyes that I saw nothing on the Securities and Exchange Commission agenda that talked about what is root core that these agencies are leaving unaddressed. Where are you seeing conversations assuring the Securities and Exchange Commission will stop the Commission's fake news about protecting investors? Where are you seeing conversations the Financial Services Committee will stop crimes against investment clients and investment advisors? Yes, I am a voice for good investment advisors, too. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, like the Securities and Exchange Commission, exploits good advisors. Case in point, Lucia versus SEC, the SCOTUS Supreme Court of the United States opinion is a win for investment clients and investment advisors. Have you heard either of the committee's agendas talking about, proposing to talk about Lucia versus SEC or Epic Systems versus Lewis? No. Contrary, more cover-up as we will discuss. Your ears are working right. Unfortunately, the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Financial Service Committee are working wrong for us. More correctly, they're not working for us. One stop of mine when the Financial Services Committee was majority under the Republicans, chaired by Jeb Hensarling, you heard right, one stop of mine, it somehow in some way becomes a charted path to visit and update from time to time, and one of those time to times, I ran into Jeb Hensarling, literally, outside of the committee room. I put into Jeb's hands my article, my same piece I put into the lap of the Virginia governor at the time, Terry McAuliffe, to restore voting dignity to felons who served their time. Jeb was fascinated that I found papers confirming Bernard Madoff's crimes were known as far back as 1963, 50 plus years before Madoff turned himself in. another visit to Rayburn Building, to the Financial Services Committee. I stopped into the Majority Committee room, chatted with staffers, and when the conversation turned to MSNBC and pundits like Jim Cramer and the likes of other shows where experts pontificate on Wall Street firms as investments, it was in and around the time Cramer was screaming, "Sell, sell, sell," on holdings that toppled down to the basement and below, with viewers selling. And there is a story we can get into. That committee conversation prompted me to do a paper trail into Jim Cramer, where I was able to learn who is behind him, Cramer's record, and learn about Raging Bull. The committee said then, and this was a few years back, the committee wanted to hold hearings on these TV show hucksters. This was the Majority Committee, remember? Never did. That's the way of Congress. TV being broadcast on the channels as hearings are. TV, in hearing or out of hearing, is a platform for political self-promotion. So here I have a list of legislators I let learn about Don J. Bennett, RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, the games of mistruths fed to investors. And like I like to tell my loop, as I call entities I send updates to, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, DISB, Department of Insurance, Securities and Banking, FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, legislators, media, law enforcement, all, each one seeing who else is seeing, who does something, who does nothing. Largely, I have a list of who does nothing. And then kismet. Life happens. I got noticed Larry Kudlow was speaking on a panel at the W Hotel here in Northwest D.C. I went. I made my way up to Larry post-panel. Oh, I am good at that. As a news photographer, I had to move what I call fast and thin, so to speak, navigating crowds. I called it my signature, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, now move, that got me where I wanted to be and needed to be. There I was in Kudlow's face, politely, of course, and I introduced myself as, "Hi, Mr. Kudlow, I am Public Investor 12-03894, SEC Requested Investment Client Whistleblower 2010, found in bad faith for telling the truth Wall Street wants covered up." True to response, he laughed. Why they laughed, I don't know. Doesn't every investment client know their FINRA, dispute resolution arbitration number, off by heart? Then I hit Larry with the not-so-funny part, that in 2010, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, asked me to be their investment client whistleblower on Don Bennett, on Western International Securities, on J.P. Morgan Clearing. Don Bennett, who was a favorite guest on Larry's TV show. You know, I guess Pollyanna that I am, I sort of hoped, I sort of thought Larry would want to do a show. You see, we already knew each other, Larry and I. Photographic images of my God project, www.godinthetemplesofgovernment.com, photographic images of mine became evidence in a landmark SCOTUS Supreme Court case, Van Orden versus Perry. Larry did a column devoted to my faith photographs. From time to time, we would say hello at different events. Not that I expected he would remember me. My pictures, different story. So Larry told me to email him, care of his associate, Ms. Varga, at kudlow.com. Larry told me to send him the information we talked about and documents, which I did, and I never heard anything back. as I do, a person does in business, you follow up. You call again. You email again. I send some additional information. Nothing again. When I circulated back online to notate the Larry Kudlow shows Dawn Bennett appeared on, the strangest thing. Where were the YouTube videos of Larry Kudlow interviewing Dawn Bennett? Where they once were, now was that gray, fuzzy noise we see and hear when videos are taken down. And a few days later, news broke Larry was going to the White House. Now, the video may be down. The text is still up. I sent my list, my loop, the people that receive my email updates. I sent them conversation why I believed in my experience, in my documentation, that Larry Kudlow, in my opinion, was not suitable for the White House role. All Larry had to do, I thought, was to come out publicly with a teaching moment of how investors need to be wary, that even the great Larry Kudlow could get conned. What is more than Larry Kudlow that got conned by Dawn Bennett and Bennett's team? Guests on Dawn Bennett's podcast included Ted Nugent, Grover Norquist, Steve Forbes, Rand Paul, Ben Carson as starters. It got better. I mean, it got worse. Dawn Bennett's victims included Tom Ridge's security firm partner, Phillips Peter, a 22-year Federal Bureau of Investigation agent, Dave Hanna, the former head of security of the NASDAQ Global Operations, was a victim of Dawn Bennett, a lady that worked at the CIA with Dawn Bennett's dad. She was a victim. These were no slouches. These were bright people that got conned. To no fault of their own. To no fault of their own. The con has been so well orchestrated. It was purely by chance that I came along when I did. 2009, Bernard Madoff, the world watched on the World Wide Web and on TV as the Bernard Madoff was perp walked, hands behind his back, and said the words that stuck to me until I confirmed what he said. They knew. The journalist in me wants to tell you there's something better for simple people like you and me. I can't. I will tell you that I got from an authority under oath, October 6, 2009, in the Financial Services Committee hearing room, in front of the then chairman, Barney Frank, a colorful character, but good at what he was doing. The committee chairman had RBC Royal Bank of Canada CEO John Taft testifying. And it's what John Taft said, I want you to hear and remember. He said, even the smartest of CEOs cannot do what Taft's people do. John Taft was right. People like you and me have a conscience, have empathy and remorse. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please do LinkedIn. Everyone knows at least one other person a victim of Wall Street crime. Everyone knows at least one person who does not know yet that they are a victim of Wall Street crime. Remember, Wall Street does not tell cops. We can lift this matter together. the matter that is not in politics' forefront where it should be, the matter that is not being addressed in the Financial Services Committees, House and Senate side, that's not being discussed in local city councils, and sadly that law enforcement on all levels needs clarification on. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of, off of your time invested and your dime earned. Share. Share our podcast. Share your papers. Share your story. We can lift this together. Until next time. Okay.